It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. As we talk about the Prince George Cougars, the Christmas break arrives and the PG Cougars are number one, not just the BC Division Western Conference, but also the WHL, 24-9, 33 of 68 games complete, a team that has not lost back-to-back games all season. The head coach and the general manager is Mark Lamb. Mark, we had you on early in November. Now here we are, mid to late December. Try to put everything in perspective from your point of view. I don't know if it could have gone any better the first half of the season, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you get on a roll and you you get a certain amount of luck. We have had some pretty big injuries as of late, but at the start we were going pretty good, and you know, we got our chemistry going good, and I think it's all, you know, coming together of what we've been doing for the last few years, and getting the right people on board, and we got a very good hockey team right now.
What is it about going without losing two in a row? No other team can say that. Even Saskatoon, a team that, you know, at the break you're tied with in terms of points, but even they've lost a two in a row. Every single time you have lost, the team responds, and usually convincingly. Look at the past weekend after you fell in Everett, how much better you played in Wenatchee and in Langley. What is it about this team that right now is refusing to lose two in a row?
Well, I think it's a lot of maturity. You know, hating to lose is another thing. We have a really good team. We can do some different things in back-to-back games, and our goaltending has been outstanding.
Yeah, a lot of different things come into play with this hockey team. What impresses you the most? The fact that you're number one for power play and penalty kill, the fact you haven't lost two in a row, the fact that you have so many guys having career years, whether it be Funk, whether it be Height, whether it be Parizak, whether it be Ravensbergen, even though those last two are rookies. What is it that you are surprised with the most?
I'm not sure I'm really surprised. Like, surprised at a few things statistically. You know, we're at the top of most of the categories. That's surprising. What I'm really happy about is our goals against and our team play. That's the most important thing. We have a lot of talent. We have a lot of skill. We can score goals, but you got to be able to keep it out of your own net. And our team play is one of the things that's very, very important and very impressive right now.
I asked you before if you consider yourself the best team in the league, and I think your response was, we're among them. What would you say today?
Yeah, still the same. There's some teams that, when you look at them, and, you know, the team, there's a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of difference between number one and the last team in the league. And, you know, you had a couple players, but I don't think it's changed at all.
I know you've been asked this, and you know, but I have to ask you again about Riley Height and the fact that he was not given an invite to Team Canada. And since that time, he's probably even played better without Zimmer, who's been injured. Now, the difficult question for you, and I don't know if you've got an answer, why do you think he was not selected for the tryouts? Not saying he had to make the team. They invited 30 players. You'd think they could have just invited 31. Do you have any inkling as to why you think he did not get that invite?
No, I don't have an inkling, and that would be for the guys that are picking the team. And all as I know is, you know, I've said this before, is when he didn't get the invite, is he deserves the invite. You know, we're a number one team in the league. We're a number one team, or one of the top teams right across the Canadian Hockey League. We got the number one power play. We got the number one penalty kill. And he's the number one guy in all those, on all the special teams, on our team play. So just by those statistical categories right there, and he's a leading scorer in the league. He deserves a chance.
Yeah, and he's also improved immensely defensively. There's a number of guys that have improved immensely on the defensive side of the game. He's one, I think Hudson Thornton has, and there's a number of other guys. I'm not saying that they were poor before, but I'm saying that we see that improvement on in their own end, and I'm sure there's other guys as well that you would put in that category, correct?
Yeah, and you know, it's a, we emphasize that part of the game on our team, and we have for a while, and you know, that's the growth of our hockey club, and growth is in all those categories too. It's not just all on the scoreboard. It's playing away from the puck, and you know, we talk about it a lot. And if you want to win and you want to be a good team, you have to be good in those areas, and we're improving in that area.
Did you have to speak with Riley after, you know, the disappointment? Did you have to say anything as a coach and general manager? Did Jim Playfair say something? I imagine you guys did. What can you share in terms of that?
Well, you just talk to him, you know, from myself and Riley, we're on the same page. I know when he's hurting, you know, we talk about certain things. For him after it, he's a very motivated kid to not only play for his country, but he's motivated to win with the Prince George Cougars, and he's motivated to play in the NHL, and that's the most important thing for Riley right now.
So last year you made the trade of the year, the steal of the year, when you got Chase Wheatcroft for just a fourth round pick. We know what he did in the one season. But you also made that deal in January for Zach Funk. You had to give up a little bit more, a player, second round pick, fourth round pick. You gave up a little bit more, obviously, to get him. Now, you have to, 36 goals in 33 games. This is a sniper. I mean, you know, I asked you earlier about surprises. I mean, nobody could have thought he would be averaging more than a goal per game and more than half of them on the power play.
Yeah, no, that... He's really, you know, found a home here, and you know, Funk is he's a unique player. He can do a lot of things. Like he's a real physical player. He's a better playmaker than a lot of people think, and he can really shoot the puck. And now he's found that chemistry. He's playing in the spot where Weedy played last year on the power play, and it's a spot you kind of have to learn. And it didn't take Funk long to learn. But not only, once again, he's a guy that's really got a lot better away from the puck, and that's the real sell job. Is these guys are having success offensively by playing really good away from the puck.
So are other general managers a little shy of taking your phone calls now? The way that those two trades have worked out for you in a landslide favor?
No, I don't think so. I think you try to make the trades to better your team, and you know you try to fit guys into what you got, right? You're trying to build chemistry all the time, and you try to look at upside, and these trades, all these players certainly had that.
You have until January the 10th to fill that 20-year-old spot in terms of a trade. I guess you could add one after that date. There's a way to do that, but we're sort of waiting. I guess we're all in a waiting game. Is that something? I mean, you've got that spot open, you know, and now Zimmer out until the playoffs. Is that something that you're still planning on filling via trade or some other route? You're going to wait? How's that looking for the extra 20-year-old?
Well, it's looking like a great option. You know, that's for sure. You know, it has been a great option since it's been open, and that's where it's at right now. We've had lots of conversations. We'll keep having conversations. There's, you know, before there were certain things in, you know, our own organization with our guys that were in pro that, you know, so we wanted to just kind of be patient in that regard. And so that's what we're doing. But, you know, there's who's going to be available out there. There's going to be a few guys. And do we fill that spot or do we get a 19-year-old or whatever? But we'll make our hockey team better.
Some teams that are at the top are going to look at being buyers. I imagine you want to buy, but at the same token, you don't want to give up first-round picks. I don't know if you can get a quality player without doing that. How do you sort of weigh that?
Well, you just stay in the game and you negotiate. There's no secret way to do it. You have to have a match on the other team, and you know, whatever the prices are. But it's we're not worried about the prices. We're worried about the type of player that we're getting back.
Right. And would you have a preference for a forward, defense? I imagine not a goalie. How would you sort of look at that? Because, you know, with Zimmer out, you got a lot of firepower, but you probably still wouldn't mind somebody, you know, to help balance those first two lines a little bit.
Yeah, we've looked at all those options, and we'll keep doing it, forward and D.
Jim Playfair has finally been recognized by Hockey Canada. And for those who follow your team closely, his impact has been huge. And you would admit that, what he's been able to bring. I know when I had Tyler Bruff on the recent podcast for CatScan, he said he's never seen anybody like him. He's never learned so much from somebody in such a short amount of time. So you have to be very pleased for him that now he's going to go to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland and get another experience for himself.
Oh, absolutely. That's, you know, it's one of those tournaments that it's a very short tournament with pros, and, you know, it's run at a different time, but it's got a long history, and it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things that that you have to take advantage of if you ever get the opportunity. So very happy for him.
Yeah, I mentioned to you last time, but 6 weeks have gone by since. You know, when you and Jim are discussing, and the other coaches with Carter, and if Bruff's around, or, you know, Dakers, when you are having discussions with coaches, when it comes with Jim, does he sort of, how does it sort of work there in terms of, you said before there weren't a lot of disagreements. Is it the kind of a thing that you, as the head coach and general manager, just sort of say, you know, Jim, you know exactly what you're doing, just keep doing it? Do you have more input than that? How does that sort of work? Because I know he's an associate coach, but he's so effective at what he does, I would imagine you just like to leave him alone a little bit.
And well, it's no different than how I, you know, used any other coaches. We collaborate about everything all the time. Very inclusive, you know, exactly. He's been around. He's got all this experience. We use all his experience. He's got some ideas. We have ideas. We put them all together. It's just really nice to, you know, to have that presence around and that experience, especially for myself. And then for the young coaches, like for a guy like Bruffer and Carter Rigby, they spend a lot of time with them. They're in the same office, so they would have all this hockey talk all the time, and that's where all the knowledge comes from, is not so much on the X and O's and stuff. It's all these different hockey talks that they're having about different situations over the past years. You can gain so much. That's where they're getting a lot of their value. And then, you know, in his meetings and how he prepares for his meetings and for the penalty kill, and not just only the penalty kill, the overall team play, which we all collaborate on. It's been seamless. And like I say, arguments and stuff, we talk about how to make our team better and how to win.
It has to be a lot more fun at this break compared to maybe not last year, but the previous years. When you're having these discussions with coaches, when you're winning and you're consistently winning and you're on top, as opposed to, hey, are we going to make the playoffs? Or what do we have to do to get into that last playoff spot? Those conversations, everything must be at a, like I could just imagine, it just, you know, there's so many more smiles in the face, in the room, I would imagine, than just trying to figure out, oh gosh, how are we going to, you know, get to the next level kind of a thing when you're now at that next level.
Right. And yeah, exactly. It's been really good. It's, there's, you know, how we say it, there's winning and then there's misery, right? There's nothing else. You either win or you lose. But, you have to figure out why you're losing. And then when you're in an organization, you got to build it. You got to, you know, put in perspective of where you're at. And the way I look at it, you know, from a couple years ago to now is, now we're in this situation, is how do we get better tomorrow? You know, we have a real good team right now. How do we get better tomorrow? How do we get better in the future? And how do we stay good? And, you know, that's the spot where we're at right now, which is very gratifying.
Tyler Bruff's role. Now, I talked to him from his perspective. He's going to the practices now, and, you know, his job now allows him to spend more time with the PG Cougars. He's still head coach of the Caribou Cougars, are under 18. How are you incorporating him? How is he adding to your coaching staff, which would sort of make it five coaches now in total, even though I know he's on a volunteer basis for the time being?
Yeah, you know, Breffer's been really good. You know, he knows the game. He's got that great personality that he just kind of fits in. He knows how to get around a coach's room. And he's just, yeah, whenever Breffer's around, he comes out to practice, gives his input also. And then when he's around during games, he's the eye in the sky that comes down and, you know, gives us his thoughts during the game. And sometimes you might have him watching, you know, different areas of the game and, you know, and stuff like that. But that's, and he's a great guy to have around.
Your goaltending situation has changed since the last podcast from back in November. Josh Ravensbergen has now started five of the last six. His numbers are off the charts. His performance has been off the charts. Ty Young has been winning a lot of his games. His consistency still, I'm not sure. It's maybe not where he's quite at in terms of save percentage or goals against average. How do you look at that goaltending situation now compared to what it once was?
Well, that's hockey changes quick, doesn't it? You know, it's kind of flipped right now. Ravensbergen is, you know, he's number one goalie in the league, and you know, Ty Young's a very good young goalie with a lot of potential, and we're very happy to have both of them. But you know, that's the could it switch around next week? Who knows? But we're very happy with the two goalies that we got. But what can you say about Rav?
I know, and that is, I was going to ask you, but it's an unfair question. Who's your rookie of the year? Because I know what you would say. We have two of them. But, I mean, what he is doing in goal is absolutely, you know, eye-popping. And I imagine, I'd like to know what the talk is around the league with, you know, what they're saying about Josh Ravensbergen, you know, six shutouts already, goals against average, save percentage, top two in the league, everything that he has done. If he does have a little bit of an off performance like he did on Friday against Victoria, you know, and I'm not even sure he had a chance in those three goals, but anyway, he comes back with a shutout the next night, so on and so forth. What do you think the talk is around the league about him?
Well, I'm sure it's the same as, you know, everything that you just said, you know, the conversations, you know, that I have, and, you know, they're like, holy man, you know, this guy, and then they all go back and look at their scouting, and, you know, he's right in our backyard, why didn't we get him? And, you know, sometimes that happens, and holy man, are we lucky to get him, and give our scouts a lot of credit for finding that.
Yeah, Sean Murray responsible, Bob Simmons, the late Sean Murray and all that, and I know that, you know, Josh was really, really close with Sean.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that till after the fact, but yeah, they've done a lot of work together.
Right. So how do you now, with the role sort of changing for Ty, and it's because of what Josh has done, how do you sort of keep, you know, Ty engaged and, you know, making sure that he is as ready to go as possible and all of those? I imagine the conversations are a little bit, you know, different than they were, because he had come in and, you know, and rightfully so, thought he was going to be the starter and was, but just because of the miraculous play of the 17-year-old, the circumstances have changed. So how do you have to sort of work that out with him?
Oh, we, you know, nothing changes there. We've been doing it for the last, you know, 3 weeks and stuff. It's just you know, you have to find your game and you have to be ready every game. You know, we go game by game on which goaltender is going to play, and we put a lot of factors into it. And so everyone's got to be ready to play.
And I imagine Taylor Dakers still has a lot to say about which goalie plays or how they're going, because even though he's, you know, director of business operations, when I've had him on the CAT scan, his first love is still goaltending.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, he's out there with them and does his individual stuff, and we go over the game and you know, the starting goalies, and everything's all the same there. So you know, Rav is he's played unbelievable. You know, so what can you say there? So when someone's hot like that, you got to keep going.
Yeah, when things have gone this well, is there anything that's been disappointing? Is there any, now I know you're going to say, hey, we can improve on this, we can improve on that, but is there anything that you're sort of looking at and saying, yeah, that's a little bit of a disappointment? Or is it just, and I don't want to say that it's perfect because you're not a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination, and playoffs are going to be different and everything, but has there been anything from your perspective as a head coach that you're a little disappointed in?
No, no, there's nothing that we're disappointed in, but, you know, we want to stay on top of everything because, you know, in hockey, right around the corner, there could be something, and if you can, if it's something that you can control, you want to be in front of it. If it's something you can't control, well, so be it. You just move on.
How close are you going to follow what other teams are doing around the league? And I think there's a lot of interest, and obviously, I know you can't comment on other team situations, but there's lots of interest in what Wenatchee is going to do because they've got no draft picks for the next several years or high-end picks. Yet they're a really good team this year, and you know, maybe they're trying to think, do we sell some guys or whatever? And if they do, that would change the dynamics of that team. Do you keep a close eye on what other teams are doing and whether a team like Wenatchee is going to say, hey, we're just going to do what we can to win this year, or maybe we are going to look to the future? And not just them, but other teams. How closely are you paying attention to all of that?
Oh, man, I pay attention. That's my job, to pay attention to all that. You know, you have to follow everybody. You got to follow what other teams are doing, and you got to be in contact and stay in the game. So very close.
The one thing that's different for Prince George, and obviously everybody with the Cougars, they want to win this year. They want to win the championship this year. I understand that. It may happen. It may not. But you're not in a one-year window. Ravensburg is 17, Parizak is 17, Height is 18. We could go on, you know, Demanski and so on and so forth. There's a lot of guys that are not ready to end their WHL careers next season. Because of that, how do you look at it maybe compared to if you had an older team?
Well, that's, you know, that's been, I look at it because that's been the plan. You know, you can never be a one-year wonder. Too many things can happen, you know, business-wise, everything else. You got to be, you know, you got to be sustainable for a few years. And when you're really good, you know, then really take a look at it. But you never know how that's going to work because some of these players are developing very well. And when I even look deeper than what you just said, you look at our OE draft class, and that looks like it could be one of the strongest draft classes that we've ever had. And you know, the leader of that, this Carroll's, just played with us a couple of games, and his play was, you know, veteran-like. You know, we're very happy. Our hockey program is very healthy right now. We want to keep it like that. We want to keep that winning pedigree going here.
Yeah, and I think that you probably want to, I don't know if there's a franchise or a team that you want to model, but to me, probably the most successful team, and they haven't won the most championships, but I really like what Everett does because Everett never misses the playoffs. They're always in contention. They're always good. They're always consistent. Last year, they decided to sell at the trade deadline, even though they knew they're going to be in the playoffs, but they knew they probably weren't going to win a championship, but they're always there. Maybe not right at the top, but they're always in the mix. Is that the kind of franchise that you look at and say, that's what the PG Cougars want and need to be?
Yeah, and there's a lot of good examples. There's a lot of real good teams, and there's a lot of good ownership and a lot of good managers in this league. And not in right across the country, there's so many, many good hockey people. And yeah, like when, you know, you get into the league and you look at programs, how, you know, Kelly McCrim and then Tim Speltz and Russ Farwell and, you know, guys that, you know, I had some connections with, and how they run their teams and how successful they were. And obviously you keep an eye on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mark Lamb, the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. a team. You know, something that's relatively interesting, and almost by the law of averages, you're wondering how it doesn't happen. You've got, in your win-loss record, 24-9, but it's also 0-0. Usually by this time, a number of teams have had overtime losses or shootout losses. That hasn't happened to you yet.
Yeah. You know, that's, like I say, hockey is, that's why it's so fun. Nothing's ever the same in it. And we've had some really exciting games. We haven't had that type of excitement.
Well, you've gone to overtime, you've won those overtime games, so there's still that pedigree that this team is going to win. Who in that dressing room, I'm guessing Hudson Thornton would be among them because he's the captain, the 20-year-old, but maybe other than him, who in that dressing room that you can sense when players need to talk really steps up that maybe we would be surprised at, or maybe somebody that is vocal, or is everybody just pretty quiet and Hudson just speaks? What about from that player's point of view? And I know coaches aren't always in there when it happens, but from what you gather, who's that guy or two that maybe we'd be surprised at?
I wouldn't really know that exactly because, we're not in there. But I think Hudson's done a very good job. He's a vocal guy. You can totally tell he's the leader. But when people get comfortable, when your team gets winning like this, more people start feeling comfortable talking. So I think it's probably the whole group is probably getting better at that.
Everybody wants to peak once we get to late March. Well, we're not even quite into 2024 yet. So for you, from your standpoint, even though things have gone extremely well, you want to peak at the right time. Is there a method of getting there? Is there some kind of a formula to it? Or is it just about, let's just win the next game and go from there?
Yeah, no, you can't look that far ahead. That's way too far ahead. You do want to be playing your best hockey when you go into the playoffs. That's for sure, because that's and it's nice to have the chemistry. It's nice to have your lines in place and your defense partners in place. But that's in an ideal world. But we're so far away from that right now. But that's what we do all the time. We don't look too far ahead. We just look at the next game.
Other than power play and penalty kill, you're very consistent. You have been through the tough times, through the better times, and now through the really good times of playing everybody equally, other than power play and penalty kill. You roll four lines. Has that been something that you've always believed in because you've got 16-year-olds in that fourth line, that is the way it has to go, where some teams may use three lines a little bit more?
Well, you still need to develop. You have to look behind you too and see what's coming. And these kids, they need to get out on the ice. But we have, like our the Foster, McLennan, Lajoie line, man, they're an exciting, fun line, and they can play. I'm not, worried to play them against anybody. And so these kids add value to our team also. Like, they're really good players. So, but, your question is, when you have these kids in your team, they need to play to develop, and that's what we have to do.
Yeah, and Foster leading your team in penalty minutes. I mean, he's been that way right from the get-go. That's how he made the team. I think some were surprised that he did. Third-round pick, 16-year-old. Usually you got to have one more year to develop, but playing right there at 16. I know he hasn't scored, but he's certainly contributed in many other ways in that physical aspect. I don't know if we'd call Prince George the most physical team in the league by any stretch of the imagination, but you have a 16-year-old here that loves to play that, and he'd rub off on the rest of the guys.
Yeah, he's that type of player, and he's really smart. He's really smart. He's physical. He's not scared of anybody. But his puck play is what made him the team, along with his physicality. But he makes really smart plays. That line, they have that chemistry, and they're all physical, but they can all play with the puck. But he's just not a one-dimensional player, that's for sure.
What did you tell the guys before they went to the Christmas break? What was sort of the last message?
Well, enjoy it. It's a special time of the year. Just don't lose fact that, you know, where we're at in the standings and what we have to accomplish. And the biggest thing is, you know, you're not going to get another break after this, so really enjoy it. And, you know, I told them, you know, we really are proud of the first half, really happy where we're at, and you know, it's all about the players, and they deserve it.
So what do you do as the coach and general manager? Do you take some time for yourself because the trade deadline is coming? You have to pay attention to January 10th. What about relaxation? What about for you? Because I would think you need a break as well.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes a break for me is doing some research on players and stuff like that, because and then it's just on my own leisurely time. And then, yeah, you know, the family's coming to town, and so that's what'll make me happy, and that's when I'll have some relaxation.
You can never get away from hockey, though, when you've been involved like you have, right, from a player, NHL, longtime coach, all of that. Like, there really is no real break for a guy like yourself that is just so entrenched in the game, correct?
Not for me, there isn't. And but, you know, that's sometimes sitting down watching a hockey game is relaxing, unless it's a team I you know, have some ties to and really like, and then I find myself, you know, my palms starting to sweat, and I'm going, what am I doing? You know, putting myself through that again. I'll do that with my own team.
Yeah.
It's in my life, and that's what I love to do, but I do get away from it also.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of NHL? Do you watch a lot of other WHL? Or at this particular time, you just say, hey, I want to just sort of chill a little bit.
No, I watch as much hockey as I can get. Like, I'll watch I'll have an NHL game going, sometimes a WHL game going, and sometimes I don't remember what I was watching on one thing to the other. Sometimes I have different plays in my head, but no, I watch a lot of hockey.
Where is this Cougar team at compared to when you left Swift Current? And eventually they went on, they made some other moves after you left. I realize that, but they eventually did win a championship, but I'm guessing this team is further ahead than when you left Swift Current.
Oh yeah, I would say it's further ahead in terms of depth and a lot of things. But you know, I said that when I left, that I was really comfortable. It was the most comfortable I had been since I got there in terms of how many assets we had and how good the team was going to be.
Do you prefer, now that you've done it for a long time, coaching juniors over the pros? Or would you at some point, you know, like to get back into the pro, or now that you're close to 60 and everything like that, this is your comfort level?
No, well, I wouldn't say, you know, you like coaching one or over the other, because it's coaching and it's just a little bit different. But, you know, a lot of the pros are really young also. And, you know, that's something, you know, me and Jimmy have talked about also. But, you know, coaching is coaching. And whether it's pros or, you know, junior hockey, and you can even go lower. You know, to the under 18s and stuff. It's if you have it in your blood and you like it, it's coaching's coaching.
What's the biggest change you've had to make over the years with coaching and tactics and everything and more accessibility to video and all of that? But what has been the toughest adjustment that you've had to make as you've grown as a coach?
Well, I think when you're growing as a coach, you know, when I first went to pro, I was so close in from playing that you're kind of like a player, so you don't even know what you are really when you first start out. But the best part of coaching is just being around the guys, and it's the closest thing to being a player.
Any final thoughts that you'd like to pass along? Obviously, I would like to wish you and your family all the best for the Christmas season and happy holidays. And what message would you like, as we conclude our podcast here, would you like to leave with the Prince George Cougar fans? I mean, the average attendance is starting to climb. It's the second highest that it's been in the last 20 years, and more fans are coming out. A lot of weekend games coming up and so on. Anything that you'd like to add that maybe we've missed, or something that you'd like to say in conclusion as we wrap this up?
No, I think we went through a lot. It's just been a, you know, real fun first half so far. And, you know, the atmosphere and the fans that are coming out, and it's, you know, talking to some people around here, they're kind of saying it's like old times again. And, you know, that makes me happy. That makes the kids happy. That makes the organization happy. And it should be even better in the next half here.
Well, I really appreciate your time again, and we'll have you on again once the January 10th deadline is passed, and we'll see where things stand with the PG Cougars at that point. In the meantime, obviously, I'll talk to you during some of the broadcasts, but again, appreciate your time, and have a great holiday season, Mark.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Harvey.
You bet.
Yeah.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan. Have a great holiday season. Take care.